The brass scissors had grown warm in her palm, the metal yielding to her grip the way silk yielded to her thumb when she tested its strength. She'd spent the last hour pacing her apartment's cramped floorboards. The brass weighed a constant pressure against her skin, a reminder of every thread she'd ever cut, every secret she'd ever unraveled. She'd almost turned back, almost let the gas burn low and sleep through the night, waking to a headline that called her father's death a tragedy, a stroke, an end. But the knot's hidden loop-green flash of a match, the way it caught light like a promise kept her here, at a door she'd pushed through 100 times as a child following her father home from night shift. Tonight the handle was cold. She pushed anyway. The precinct was a cavern of shadows and stale tobacco smoke. The night watchman, a man named O'Malley whose left eye twitched whenever anyone spoke above a whisper, sat behind the barred gate with a newspaper folded to the horoscopes. He did not look up. "Casey," he muttered, "office is down the hall. Second door on the left, Doyle's been waiting." Pearl nodded. She moved past the gate, her boots clicking on the tile floor. The corridor smelled of wet wool and floor wax. At the end of the hall, Doyle's office door was open. Light spilled out, yellow and thin. She found him sitting at his desk, a bottle of cheap whiskey on the corner, a stack of files in front of him that he had not touched. He looked older than he had 2 days ago. The skin around his eyes was gray, the lines deeper. He held a letter in his hand, turning it over and over between his fingers. Pearl nodded. The gate groaned as she slipped through the gap, the sound swallowed by the precinct's low hum, the radiator's metallic cough, the distant murmur of a radio playing static. The corridor ahead stretched narrow and low-ceilinged, the walls painted a shade of green that had gone brown with age. Doyle's office door stood open at the far end, a rectangle of yellow light cutting across the darker hallway like a blade. "I needed to see you," Pearl said. She closed the door behind her. The click of the latch sounded loud in the small room. "Elena confirmed it. The silk, the old way. My father was one of the original stitchers." Doyle did not look surprised. He set the letter down. "I suspected. When I read his personnel file, I noticed gaps. Years he worked off the books. Remittances from accounts that don't exist anymore." "He was protecting me," Pearl said, "from the inside." "Doyle." He looked up, his eyes were tired. "Pearl, listen to me. I need you to hear what I'm about to say, and I need you to understand that this is not a suggestion. It is a warning." Pearl waited. "Captain Halloway signed the closure order at 9 tonight." Doyle's voice dropped, becoming gravelly, each word deliberate. "He closed the case as suicide. Stroke-induced delusion. He ruled the blood-written name a hallucination. A final, broken attempt to blame someone. Anyone." Pearl felt the air leave the room. "Suicide. It's what he wants the coroner to say," Doyle continued. "And because Blackwell controls the coroner's office, because she controls the judges, because she controls this precinct, it's what it's going to be. Officially, your father killed himself. The investigation is over. The file is sealed." "That's a lie," Pearl said. Her voice was quiet, steady. "It's the truth now," Doyle said. He leaned forward. "And here is where it gets worse. Halloway has filed a petition to revoke your detective license. He claims you have been harassing witnesses, tampering with evidence. He says you have been acting erratically since your father's death. He has affidavits from 3 uniformed officers who will testify that you threatened them at the depot." Pearl's jaw tightened. "They didn't threaten me, I asked questions." "To Halloway, asking questions is a threat." Doyle reached into his desk drawer and pulled out a thick envelope. He slid it across the desk. "This is the revocation notice. It's served, effective immediately, unless you withdraw your investigation within 48 hours. Pearl picked up the envelope. The paper was heavy, cream-colored, embossed with the NYPD seal. She opened it. The language was precise, legal, merciless. "Violation of departmental protocol. Unsanctioned fieldwork. Conduct unbecoming an officer of the law." 48 hours, she said. "Halloway gave me the deadline," Doyle said. "He wants you gone. He wants you silenced. And if you don't comply, he will use the enforcer to make sure you never investigate again." Pearl looked up. "Who is watching me?" "He was at your apartment an hour ago," Doyle said. "I tracked his patrol car. He circled the block twice. Then he parked across the street and waited. When you left for the precinct, he followed. He's not subtle, Pearl. He's arrogant. He thinks he can intimidate you into stopping. Pearl's hand tightened around the envelope. He can't, I have proof. The knot, the silk, Elena's testimony. Testimony from a seamstress in the Lower East Side? Doyle shook his head. Holloway will dismiss it. He'll call her a conspirator, a criminal associate of your father's. He'll have her arrested before sunrise if she opens her mouth. Pearl stood. She walked to the window. The rain streaked the glass, distorting the streetlights into smears of yellow. So what do I do? Walk away? Let them declare it suicide and bury my father's name in a sealed file. No, Doyle said. You don't walk away, but you need to be smarter. Holloway has the law, he has the courts, he has the police force, you have scissors and determination. That's not enough. What do you suggest? Doyle stood, he walked around the desk and placed a hand on her shoulder. His grip was firm. Go home, lock your doors. Wait, let Holloway think he's won. While he's celebrating, while he's filing the closure papers, while he's sleeping soundly in his Fifth Avenue townhouse. You work, quietly. You gather what you can, you find the ledger. You find the evidence Holloway seized. And when you have enough, you go to the district attorney. Bypass Holloway, go straight to the top. The DA is on Holloway's payroll, Pearl said. Maybe, Doyle said, but there are others. Men who want Holloway gone, men who have their own agendas. You play the game, Pearl. You use their greed against them. That's how you win. Maybe, Doyle said. He reached for his whiskey, took a drink, set the glass down with a click. There's a clerk in the DA's office. Name's Finnegan. Drinks at the White Horse on Fridays. You buy him a pint, you ask about the Blackwell Transit contracts. He talks. He always talks. Doyle looked away. His jaw worked. I do what I can. I intercept the warrants. I delay the paperwork. I buy you time, but I can only do so much. Holloway is watching me too, if he suspects I'm helping you. He'll suspend you. He'll ruin me, Doyle said quietly. But I've been ruined before. It's not the first time I've crossed Holloway. It won't be the last. Pearl studied his face. She saw the guilt there, deep and old, the guilt over her father, the guilt over failing to protect him. She wanted to say something, to thank him, but the words felt inadequate. Instead, she nodded. Thank you, she said. Don't thank me yet, Doyle said. The hard part is coming. Holloway won't stop, he'll escalate. He'll send the man in gray coat. He'll come for you, and when he does, you need to be ready. Pearl picked up the revocation notice. She folded it and put it in her pocket. I'm always ready. She turned and walked to the door. Her hand touched the knob. Pearl, Doyle said. She paused. If you find the ledger, burn it. Don't try to use it. Don't try to show it to anyone. Burn it. That's the only way your father's sacrifice means anything. Pearl looked back at him. Why burn it, if it proves Astrid Blackwell's guilt? Because the ledger doesn't just name her, Doyle said. It names everyone. Every corrupt cop, every judge, every politician. If you release it, the whole city burns, and you'll be the one holding the match. Is that what you want? Pearl didn't answer. She opened the door and stepped out into the corridor. Outside, the October wind bit through her coat, sharp and wet, carrying the river's stench of coal smoke and rotting fish. Pearl moved through the empty streets with purpose, her boots striking the cobblestones in a rhythm that matched the frantic beating of her heart. The city around her was dark, the gas lamps flickering in the damp air, casting long shadows that seemed to stretch toward her like grasping hands. She reached the corner of Orchard and Stanton. The precinct was behind her. Ahead of her, the city stretched out, dark and endless. She thought of the revocation notice in her pocket. 48 hours. 2 days to find the ledger, to gather the evidence, to dismantle an empire. She thought of Holloway, sitting in his office, signing the closure order with a pen that probably cost more than her father made in a month. She thought of the man in gray coat, circling her apartment block, waiting for the right moment to strike. And she thought of her father, slumped against the fourth step, blood on the marble, a name written in his own lifeblood. Pearl pulled her coat tighter around her. She quickened her pace. She had work to do. The streets were empty. The gas lamps cast long, distorted shadows on the wet cobblestones. Pearl moved through them like a ghost, her mind racing with possibilities, with fears, with the terrible certainty that she was running out of time. She turned west toward the river, toward the docks, toward the silence. Somewhere out there in the dark, the ledger waited. and Pearl Casey was going to find it. Whatever the cost,